How would you describe the Bible? Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth came up with some characteristics.
God's word is eternal. It's always true. It's always relevant. It's always right. It's always pure. It's always good. It's always in style. It's always.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, author of A Place of Quiet Rest. For June 26th, 2025, I'm Dana Gresh. Nancy's been leading us in a rich study through the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. It's a series called Revive Me According to Your Word. And Nancy, I think I speak for all our listeners when I say that we've gotten so much out of this study. There's just so much to learn from this poetic chapter.
Well, you're so right. When I was preparing these messages on Psalm 119, I felt like I was just barely scratching the surface of all the amazing, rich insights that this passage has to offer. I imagine myself perhaps going back someday and spending weeks and weeks mining the riches of Psalm 119. In fact, I've continued in my own personal study and meditation on this passage since I first recorded it, and God is continuing to use this passage in a significant way in my own heart. And I know that our listeners have been getting a lot out of Psalm 119 as they've been reading it during our series called Revive Me According to Your Word. We recorded these messages with an audience of women, and a number of days before they came together for this recording, we asked them to take time to read Psalm 119 to prepare their hearts for this series. So on that recording day, before I even began to teach, I asked the women what they had been getting from the passage as they had been reading it in advance. I was so encouraged by what they shared, as were the other women in the room, and it was neat to see how God had been speaking to them through the pages of Scripture, even before they heard me teach anything on it, and giving them insight that they needed for specific areas of their lives. So today we want to share some of what the women shared that day, some insights from women who had been reading and meditating on Psalm 119. And I think what they have to say will encourage you to dive into this rich chapter for yourself, and then to get into all of God's Word and let it speak to you. Let's listen as women share how God was speaking to them through Psalm 119.
One of the verses is, "Look upon my suffering and deliver me, and for I have not forgotten your law." And I was just sharing with Robin, who I just met this morning, how different ones had connected. I was connected to that got me through a very, very tough time in my life. And God has been faithful. He did not answer the prayers the way I thought. But I've got to believe in the sovereignty of God, that He is still working. My husband had walked out on us after 32 years of marriage. But God is faithful. We've seen Him do wonderful things. And I am still praying that God will still reach my husband's heart, my former husband's heart. I just trust that God's sovereignty and how He works.
Psalm 119 always brings me back to a youth pastor that we had who lost his wife. And during her dying days of cancer, she memorized Psalm 119.
Wow. Psalm 119 is my favorite. And my favorite verse in Psalm 119 is verse 68. And over the course of life, as you go through difficult times, I keep going back to that verse that just says that the Lord is good and He does good. And so no matter what I face, that's my rock.
I have to tell you about that verse, that on the weekend of my 21st birthday, I was home with my family celebrating my birthday. And then I flew back that Saturday to Virginia, where I was working at the time. And when I landed in Virginia, having just left my parents hours earlier, I got a call from my mother that my dad had just had a heart attack and was instantly with the Lord, age 53. And the Lord is so kind. And this is the sweet thing about having God's word embedded in your heart. That verse, Psalm 119, verse 68, is the first conscious thought that I had when I got that call. God is good, and He does good. And, you know, then there was just a whole flood of other thoughts and tears and things to process. But in God's providence, That verse, God is good, you are good, and you do good, was such a bedrock for my heart. And what's interesting is, and sweet, as you think about parenting and teaching your children the word and the ways of God, that was a concept, the sovereignty, the goodness, the providence of God, that my dad and mom had spent the first 21 years of my life building into my life. And then when that, you know, the stalwart thing in my life, my dad, was gone with no warning, God was so kind to bring that truth that had been just drilled into me to make it so real and conscious at that moment. So I've always loved that verse too, and just so thankful for the, you know, in the midst of loss, turmoil, pain, confusion, to be able to lift our eyes above the circumstances and say, you are good and you do good. You only do good. And to know that somehow, though, that didn't seem good to me at that moment, that my mom was 40 years old, now widowed with 7 children, ages 8 to 21. I mean, none of that seemed good, losing your dad on the weekend of your 21st birthday. That didn't seem good. But what a wonderful gift that is to give to your children, is the word of God that when they need it, which is all the time, they're pointed to God and his ways and his goodness. So thanks for sharing that.
For me, Psalm 119, I had the worst time getting all the way through it. I told the ladies I had to start reading from the back because I knew the front so well of Psalm 119, but I was having trouble with knowing the concepts from the end. The verses 67 and 71 throughout my life have been an incredible reminder to me that growth does come through pain, and quite often, the best growth I have is when he allowed me to be afflicted. And while I'm in it, I'm really having a hard time with that thought process. But every once in a while, those verses would pop up again in my mind, and I would be reminded that there is going to be a good that comes from that. And so those two verses really have encouraged me.
And for those who don't have those two verses memorized, let me just read them to you. Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. And I have written in the margin of my Bible there, there's a progression there. When we go astray or we wander from God's ways, then God in his mercy will sometimes bring affliction into our lives. Now, that's not the only reason he brings affliction, but it is one reason. And it's the same way that when your children are going astray, you maybe bring some affliction into their lives because you know they need some consequences for their choices. And again, not all suffering is consequences for sin, but sometimes it is. So we go astray, God allows us to be afflicted, and then the result is we keep his word. It restores us to a place of obedience. We don't wander anymore from his word. And that's the same concept in Hebrews chapter 12 that says God, as a good father, disciplines his children so that we can become partakers of his holiness. It says no discipline for the moment seems joyful. It's painful, but it produces that peaceable fruit of righteousness when we've been trained by it. Same concept. As you see here in Psalm 119, verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, implication, then I was afflicted, and then now I keep your word. Now I follow you. Now I'm not going to wander away from you. You have the picture of the shepherd there, you know, who is maybe disciplining that little wandering lamb so that it will stay close to the shepherd. And then verse 71, it is good for me that I was afflicted. That's not a verse we really love, is it? It's good for me. This is good for me. Well, you tell your children, you know, this is good for you. But God tells us, this is good for you. And then the psalmist says, it is good for me that I was afflicted. Why? That I might learn your statutes. We learn obedience to God's ways. Sometimes the hard way. Now, we don't have to learn the hard way, but sometimes we do. And then let me just add to those three verses, verse 75, which puts a kind of bow on that picture. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. That in the affliction, There's the goodness, the faithfulness, the kindness, the mercy, the character of God. He is not, because we're being afflicted and we feel like our world is falling apart, whether it's with a difficult marriage, as we've been hearing, or financial pressures, or prodigal children, or health issues, whatever these issues are, we can be assured that in the midst of it all, God is still faithful. And that it's not, he's not just throwing us out there to suffer the pains and difficulties of life and leaving us alone. No, he is engaged with us in that suffering, in that hardship. I know that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. And then, oh, I can't stop there. The next verse, verse 76, let your steadfast love comfort me. And aren't you glad that God brings comfort in the midst of affliction? He's faithful and he brings comfort. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant.
Actually, Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, was the very first verse I ever memorized. And I know it really made me want to study God's word at the time. And I was like, well, I guess I'll start by reading 119. And then I saw how long it was and I changed my mind. So I've actually been wanting to read it for a long time, but it's just really been blessing me a lot. Thanks.
Great. Don't you love seeing teens with a heart for the word? Go. That's great.
I'm Jenny Melby. I'm here with my mom and Sue, my roommate. We go to school in Wheaton College in Illinois. And Sue and I were actually just talking about this verse. What struck us the most was verse 9. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. And I just love how simple that is. How can we stay pure, like physically, and have pure minds and pure hearts, and just by obeying his word?
Jenny, I'm so glad you shared that. And as I've been thinking about that verse, I think it also reminds us how important it is to seek the Lord and purity starting as a young person. Some of us are older. We have some gray hair in here, and we have some younger people. And I think those of us who are older would say to those of you who are younger, we all wish we had had more of a heart to be pure and to seek the Lord. I'm seeing a lot of nodding heads when we were younger. No matter how much you seek the Lord when you're young, you'll never regret that. And the time to start, it's not ever too late, but the time to start is when you're younger. I heard recently about someone who said that they were talking about a young woman who is a young adult, and I asked how she was doing, and they said, well, she's not rejected the Lord, but she's wanting to live her life now and enjoy life and then get serious about spiritual things later. If you lived any length of time, you know that that's not the way to think, that you want to seek the Lord now. You want to seek purity now, that the patterns for your life and who you will be and what you will be when, as I tell the kids, when you're an old lady like me, those things are being determined now. Those things are being set now. So it really encourages me to have you younger women with us, and to have younger women listening to this program, and women who are seeking the Lord. And you're setting a course, you're laying a foundation that is going to be with you for all of your life. So just a word of affirmation to you younger women, even if no one else or very few others in your, you know, generation or around you may be earnest about seeking the Lord, you do it anyway. And God will really bless and honor that. So I think this psalm may have been written by, I think it was probably David, but I think he probably wrote it as a young man expressing his heart to have a lifetime of seeking the Lord, not just to start down the road, but to start now as a younger man.
That verse is very simple and it's very comforting. And then later on, it assures us that God's word is eternal and that it really does last forever. So even though it seems like the world has changed and society is different and that doesn't quite cut it anymore, we're promised that it does.
Great. Don't miss what Susanna said there. That is so good, Susanna, about the eternal nature of God's word, that even when our culture tells us it's not relevant, it's not timely, it's not fashionable, it's not cool, it's not true, all the things that, you know, our culture just kind of scoffs at the word of God, which, by the way, it's not just our culture. There's always been a culture that is set against God's ways because they don't want anybody to rule over them. They want to rule their own lives. But to remember
even when you are like the salmon swimming upstream against a culture that doesn't embrace God's word, God's word is eternal. It's always true. It's always relevant. It's always right. It's always pure. It's always good. It's always in style. It's always in style. And don't let the world convince you otherwise. They're the ones who are seeing things from a skewed perspective sometimes. And you can have confidence in the word of God, no matter what everybody else thinks. God's word is eternal. It's good news.
I really am ready to learn more about God's truth versus what people think is necessarily truth. So untangling the lies that I believe to the truth. And I really like verses 19 and 20, and then 169 through 176. I just feel like they speak to a lot to where I feel like I'm at right now.
Just interesting to see how God in his wisdom and sovereignty orchestrates things, because the particular Bible that I'm using is a daily Bible, and the last week or so it's been having me go through Psalm 119. So it's just, you know, God in his wisdom knew that. But a particular verse that spoke to me is verse 97. It says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." And that's a desire of mine to have that love. And when, like you said, the tragedy comes into your life, that the first thing comes into my mind and heart is Scripture. That's a desire of mine and a goal of mine.
The verse that I love is Psalm 130. "The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." I think I'm in that constant process, but how good it is to know that God's word gives light and direction to your life.
I was actually praying that verse this morning for our time together today, and just said, "Lord, let your words be unfolded to our hearts. Let them give light." And we are simple. We are needy. Give understanding to us. And it is his word that does that.
I am drawn to Psalm 119 because of verse 133. We had been involved in a lawsuit. Somebody had sued us. And the verse is, "Direct my footsteps according to your word, letting no sin rule over me." And the Lord showed me that I was so consumed with the injustice of it all, I didn't see the anger that was overwhelming me. And it was a game changer for me that day, because I realized I can't do anything about what their actions are, but I can let the Lord do a lot through me. And it changed the way I prayed too, you know, so.
I love Psalm 119, verse 38. "Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you." And that's my desire this morning.
I just love the power of the word of God. And Psalm 119 is a beautiful poem, an inspired poem, about the wonders of God's word. We've been hearing from women about their journeys through this rich passage and how God's word has ministered to them in some of their times of need. I love hearing the passion in these voices. And as these women have engaged in God's word, he has rewarded them by giving them the insight and the grace that they needed.
So true, Nancy. And throughout this series, and really all of June, you've been challenging us to dig into God's word in a deeper way. Here at Revive Our Hearts, we call it the 30-Day Bible Reading Challenge. You want us to make a commitment, right? To read the Bible every day for at least a month.
I'm not saying how much, how long, what time of day, just that you will get into God's word for some time each day. And I believe that if you do, it'll make a huge difference in your life. In fact, I believe that if you take this challenge, you will come back and thank us and have testimony to share of how God has worked in your life through the power of his word. I know that that can sometimes be challenging. I know life gets really hectic. It gets busy. We get late nights, early mornings, lots of things going on, lots of interruptions, lots of distractions. I really do know all about that. And I know how helpful it is to walk with someone else on this kind of journey.
So because that's true, we're going to do everything we can to encourage you in this journey. When you go to reviveourhearts.com/challenges and sign up and say, "I want to take the 30-day Bible reading challenge," Well, we'll encourage you by sending you an email every day during those 30 days. I hope you'll check it out. ReviveOurHearts.com/challenges or look for a link in the transcript of this program. Additionally, for a donation of any amount this month, we're making available Colin Smith's wonderful 30,000-foot overview of the scriptures called Fly Through the Bible. You'll also get a beautiful print of a poem by Nancy, a poem about God's Word. Together, these resources are just our way of saying thank you for your support. We're listener-supported, meaning we rely on donations from friends like you to sustain the outreaches of Revive Our Hearts. We're calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ all around the world. So when you contact us with your donation, be sure to ask about the poem by Nancy and the overview of the Bible by Pastor Colin Smith. You can give at ReviveOurHearts.com or when you call 1-800-569-5959. Now, can you see the gospel in Psalm 119? Maybe that's some homework for you tonight. Read through Psalm 119, see if you can pick out passages where the gospel is hinted at or shown, and then be sure to listen tomorrow when Nancy will help us see the gospel in Psalm 119.
I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. I can hardly read that verse without feeling a pang of need and conviction in my own heart, because I just think of the many ways that I have gone astray like a lost sheep. And the verb there is one of not just past wandering, but it's we're prone to wander. We're bent toward wandering. We keep wandering off. I've gone astray. I keep going astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. It's an acknowledgement of the true heart condition of humility, a confession of sin, and a confession of helplessness. I can't save myself. I need you to seek me. I need you to save me. We can't rescue ourselves. We can't restore ourselves. Sheep, unlike dogs, you know, dogs will eventually come back, but sheep don't. They just keep wandering off. A shepherd has to bring them back. We cannot find our way back on our own. And by the way, that's what religion is all about. It's man's best efforts to find his own way back. We can't find our way back. God must seek us. God must restore us. And the good news of the gospel is that he has come to seek and to save the lost. Aren't you glad for a good shepherd, a great shepherd, who goes out to bring in lost and wandering sheep?
Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.